I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, welcome back to the final episode of Soul Sisters 2017.
Oh my goodness, happy new year, Jesse.
Almost. I hope almost. We make it.
Oh God.
I don't know. It's been a crazy year. I don't take
that's why I'm
the
excited.
Future for granted.
No, I know. But we're getting there. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah. I have really good feelings about 2018.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going out on a high note, right? Like the election in Alabama was a great sign of things to come, I hope. Mm-hmm. And this moment that women are having with this reckoning, bringing all these terrible people to their knees and telling them no more.
Absolutely.
I think the resistance is alive and it exists on this podcast.
Right. It's a funny thing because we don't want to hear more about it, but the more we hear about it, the more it's like, all right, this is going to be really impactful.
Yes.
And change things.
It's like all those metaphors about like it's darkest before the dawn and whatever. Like that's what's happening.
Yeah. You know? I'm in that spirit right now.
Yeah.
You know, we've spent, 11 months feeling doom and gloom. You can say, let's look forward now.
Yeah. So today's episode is a special little bonus for everyone. Really just bonus because it's a little bit shorter than we usually go, but we wanted to seize the opportunity to talk to this artist however we could and for however long. And this week it's just a shorter phoner, actually. She's calling us from Canada because her name is Sarah McLachlan, and that is where she lives.
Goddess.
And, she is one of those giants that we've been dying to have on the show. We have had so many of her Lilith Fair sisters on the show, and we talk about Sarah, but we haven't had a chance to talk to Sarah yet, and she just embodies everything that we believe in and are excited about on the show. And so when she offered to call in to chat about her holiday album and her Grammy nomination, we said, hell yeah, give us a call. So that's
so
what we
have
talk. For you. So I think we're going out on a high note this year with this one. And we look forward to many more wonderful guests, good times, good laughs, hard conversations.
Yeah. And just loving your fellow sister and brother. And this is like one of my greatest pleasures that I get to do throughout the year. So
it's a
good feeling to end the year with you, Jesse.
Yeah, you too, Dee.
Okay.
So happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
And here's Sarah McLachlan on Soul Sisters. Thank you so much for calling in. You're our first call-in. But we knew that we didn't have you in New York and we wanted to seize the opportunity to chat with you because you are the ideal guest for us to have on this show. So thank you so much. This is very exciting.
Thank you.
Where should we start? I guess we have to start by saying congratulations on your Grammy nomination. That's amazing.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun to hear about.
Yeah, I bet. I imagine that you don't necessarily put out a holiday album expecting to have nominations result from it. It probably feels a little different than other albums.
Yeah, I mean, holiday albums always do, but, quite frankly, I never have put out a record thinking I was going to get a Grammy nomination.
That's fair.
It's always kind of a surprise, and this is my first nomination in 10 years, and I think the last one was from the last Christmas record, which was 10 years ago. So,
wow. So you're two for two.
When my manager emailed me and said, "Oh, congratulations, you're nominated for a Grammy." And I looked at it briefly. I was like, "Oh, cool! I'm nominated for Juno," and that's our Canadian music
right,
awards.
Right, right.
And I was like, "Wait a minute! I already won one last year for this Christmas record." And he goes, "No, no, it's for the Grammys,
that's
the
so
American
funny.
One." I'm like, "Oh." I got a little more excited. I guess. I'm like, oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I have a question. When you go into making a holiday album, how do you approach it so that you can try to do something that is different than the millions of other holiday albums that exist? And how do you do it so that it's exciting for you?
Yeah. That is the main question, because as you said, these songs have been done a thousand different ways, and I think it's just about interpretation. And I go into the studio kind of with an open mind and think, okay, how can I approach the song that's going to be a little bit different? So I work on a couple songs. I change the melody around a little bit, change the chord structure, and some things you just need to leave alone, and some things I've always wanted to do like a beautiful string arrangement for some of these songs. And so having the opportunity to do that, even though it might not be reinventing the wheel, it's sort of, it was fun for me to apply those kind of things to these songs and just have that opportunity to work with arrangers and do different things like that. So it's just, every song is unique, and I just sort of go in with an open mind, as I said, and approach it as best I, just trying different things. And ultimately I go with what feels good.
Yeah. Do you have this? Do you work with the same musicians over and over now from different projects, or do you sort of try to do something fresh, or what's the process like?
Yeah, I try and branch out. I also, I often end up going back to that sort of safe place where I know this works. And I know, Pierre and I did what I think is a fantastic Christmas record 10 years ago. So when I was thinking about producers, I was like, you know what? Pierre's the guy for this, for sure. And I'm so pleased with the record. As far as musicians, you sort of reach out to the people that you think about a track and think about a particular vibe or feel that you want. You sort of know certain musicians shine at certain things.
Yeah.
And you sort of seek that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you about something that you tweeted the other day. It was a quote by Herman Melville. And it said, "It is better to fail in originality than to succeed in imitation." And I think it's a great quote, and it's something that I have learned only after much time. I think I always have felt in my life that I was being original, and looking back at things that I wrote or said or thought in my early 20s, mid-20s, yesterday, I wasn't as original as I thought, and I think that's part of growing up, is you kind of are imitating people that you look up to, and then you figure out your own way of thinking and approaching things. But I'm just wondering, what has your experience been as an artist finding your own originality? And do you look back at your own career and see that, like, you weren't as original as you thought at some point, and you had to find that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think age has a lot to do with that. And, let's be honest, there is nothing really original anymore. There's only eight notes. There's concepts that have been played out thousands of times in the creative world. But I think, it's more about being fearless, mm-hmm. and allowing yourself the freedom to just express yourself as honestly as possible. And that is as original as you're going to get.
Right.
And for me, I listen back to some of my earlier stuff and go, oh my God, it sounds so much like Kate Bush or, whoever I was listening to a lot of the time. And I think whether it's a conscious decision or not, many years ago, I stopped listening to music, other people's music, especially when I was writing, because I didn't really want to be influenced. I wanted to try and keep my mind as open as possible to finding the uniqueness that was hopefully in there. Yeah. If I didn't have all these other outside things, sort of, whether it was consciously or subconsciously coming into play. So, I think as I've gotten older, that idea of being a little more fearless and not worrying so much about other people think, and not editing yourself, and allowing it just to be whatever comes naturally. That I think age does play a large role in that. And that kind of just, I don't give a shit what anybody thinks anymore. I'm just going to say this. But I know it might piss people off, but oh, well, you know, it's yeah. what I want to say. So, and I think that there's a freedom in that, you know,
right.
That I've really, it's lovely to embrace that.
Yeah. Is there a point in your process when you're beginning a new project where there is a bit more anxiety because, yes, everything's been done. How am I going to even begin to think about what
oh, sure.
is new? And what is, do you have a, have you figured out a way around that for yourself?
It's just taking the time to work at it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, making sure you have enough time not to feel rushed, not to feel like you've been pressured into finishing something too quickly because there's a deadline. And, you know, I know myself, I know my processing happens slowly. And, you know, sometimes with music, the first instinct is often the correct one, but I want to have the opportunity to mine the different ideas and different possibilities. And often, like I said, I end up coming back to the very first idea as it still is, as what I consider to still be the strongest. But it's, you know, it's a wonderful luxury, for instance, to have a studio that I can go into
yeah.
and just spend hours noodling around and trying different arrangements and trying different, you know, different versions of the song until I, like I said, land on something that feels like the right thing. And there's no mathematical equation to getting there.
Yeah.
It's just about exploration and being free to explore all the different possibilities.
Yeah. yeah. So you don't have the exact equation that people can replicate. You haven't figured that
no,
out.
No, I wish I, believe me, I wish I did. My process a lot
Patience is a great thing to, and you said it can be a luxury. You know, sometimes you could be under the gun for this reason or that reason, but to create enough space where you do have that ability for patience sounds nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully you have a team that allows you that.
It is luxurious. Yeah, and it's like you said, you don't always have that luxury of time.
Yeah.
But if you know far enough ahead that this is, you know, the ideal situation for you in which to create the best possible product,
yeah,
the best possible song, the best possible, novel, whatever it is you're creating, painting, you know, if you give yourself that freedom to have the time to sit back and be able to contemplate and go, okay, wow, it's not working today. I'm going to go for a hike. I'm going to go do something else, and I'm going to come back to this. And, you know, that, well, as it turns out, time is our most valuable currency, and the older I get, the more I recognize that.
Oh, totally. And living in Vancouver, I bet,
I
is just
if you live in Vancouver, then you
joy.
Can give yourself time for a hike.
Right. That must be inspiring.
Hard to
hike
right
well, I live on the side of the mountain.
Oh.
Had sun for 2 weeks. It's been just glorious. I've been out every morning in the woods. It's been amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're catching you out still technically 2017 because we are still in the 20th anniversary year of Lilith Fair, and we've had a lot of your cohorts from that on the show. We've had Paula Cole and Sean Colvin and Suzanne Vega, Lisa Loeb, Indigo Girls, Tegan and Sarah from the later iteration. Anyway, so we're so excited to finally just celebrate that anniversary with you for a moment. And, you know, we spoke with all those artists about how it can be frustrating that it's still hard to find two women headlining a festival together today, all these years later.
Mm-hmm.
And just wondering how you feel about that, if that makes you want to bring it back or like, you know, what do you think?
It kind of makes me wish someone else would bring it back.
I was going to ask you about that too. I think I've read you talk about that before too, that you'd be happy to see someone else revive it or pick up the mantle.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had our moment in the sun, and mm-hmm. it was a long, beautiful moment. And I think, this is a different generation. There's different needs and different expectations. And I think in order for something like that to succeed, it would have to be spearheaded by someone of this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like someone who's successful and cares and wants to do something like this with the artists and peers of this generation, you know, which I don't have contact with. I don't have, you know, and I think it's, you know, because they're going to know what they want to do. The flip side of this and one of the positive sides of this is that a lot of these women who are incredibly successful right now are just that, incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling out arenas on their own. They, you know, one of the reasons I did this was I thought, well, you know, it wasn't about financial, it was about, let's do this, let's do something together. I don't want to have all the responsibility fall on my shoulders to do a whole show.
Mm.
Let's get a bunch of women together, and wouldn't that be fun? And it was, and it was all sorts of other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And together, we all played in front of way more people than we ever would have on our own.
Yeah.
And a part of that was because, yes, women were not being represented in festivals. I don't even know if festivals are going on these days, but I do look at the Billboard charts and I look at, you know, who's out there and who's mm-hmm. successful. And it's nice to see that there are so many women being so successful on their own, you mm-hmm. know, without, you know, well, I don't know without what, just that are being really successful.
Right.
Yeah, no, that is a good perspective to look at it from.
But it's also not to say that we wouldn't, that there's still not an audience for the generation that you know, mothered for us. I mean, I think that we're all so excited and would be so excited to see a revival of that, of those musicians as well. Not mm-hmm. to say, you know, that, sure, I understand you make a good point, but I think that to combine all of those artists into one ongoing traveling,
oh,
what
would
have
epic.
You. Yeah, right. Right.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. That would be epic.
Okay. As long as we agree.
I'm not the person to spearhead that.
Sure. Okay.
But so, you would show up for it.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I mean,
with bells on.
Yeah. Great. Great.
I mean, I would love to know, you know, it sounds like maybe you've been able to create this kind of bubble for yourself now because you've been working all these years, but do you still find opportunities now to like support other women or help bring up other women or kind of protect other mm-hmm. women and yourself?
I'm just trying to think of an example. I mean, you know, a couple years ago I went on tour and I did the Sarah and Friends tour, which was you know, I have a bunch of fantastic women in my band. And so mm-hmm. As opposed to them opening up for me, I said, no, let's just do it all together. And mm-hmm. I played a bunch of songs and they went forward. And they played a bunch of songs and
that's
I was
awesome.
The backup.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
And that, you know, it was those kind of situations are I love creating opportunities like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a musician first and foremost, and I'm a humanist first and foremost. So when I don't seek out situations where I'm, you know, necessarily trying to make sure I'm including yeah. a woman in something. If it's, you know, it's a tricky situation because, you know, I believe in whoever's best for the job, uh-huh. whoever, you know, and there's so many arguments now about, you know, well, we have to have more women on this board and we have to, you know, in certain situations where it's like, well, in certain boards, you can't just add on more board members because it's actually tricky for the entire organization. Mm. It costs more money. And, you know, if there's a position available, yes, absolutely. But again, it's the best person for the job. But
yeah.
I'm going to get myself in a whole lot of shit for even saying this. But I'm, you know, believe me, I'm all about supporting women. I'm about supporting people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking about like this moment of reckoning that women are having in the entertainment industry in particular. And do you feel like you've been able to, like, I'm sure that you have witnessed and experienced all kinds of shit throughout the years. And I'm just wondering if you feel like you are also able to protect yourself and that you feel like you feel good about your place in the industry now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that as a general rule, I was treated really well. I got signed when I was 19 years old by a small independent record label who treated me as an equal.
Mm-hmm.
And I went around in a bubble for a number of years thinking that that's actually the way the world worked.
Was that a Canadian label?
Yeah, it was Network Records. Mm. You know, who never told me how to dress or how to speak or what to say.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed me complete freedom
mm-hmm.
To be who I was. And which was an amazing luxury, again, that I didn't mm-hmm. really realize the value and importance of at the time because I was so green and naive. But certainly I understood that in the bigger world, you know, these kind of abuses existed. And I consider myself extremely lucky that I, you know, didn't come across a lot of it, you know, until a couple of years later when, you know, and even then it was, I think I was pretty protected by my management mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. You know, as far as my creative freedom and being a woman in the industry, certainly I got told all the time, like, well, we can't add you this week because we had a Tori Amos or Tracy Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Are you are you telling us there's like two slots for women this week or right. one slot for women? I don't hear you arguing about Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. Right. You know, last time I checked, they sound pretty freaking similar too. But you know, that was the 90s, right? So
yeah, yeah.
But Lilith was like, you know what? You're telling me something that I don't believe exists. And if it does exist, then I think it's asinine. And I'm going to do my best to, you know, to prove you guys wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And you did. Amen.
And we did. Together we did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have to say, when I was in college, my best friend Brady had a giant silk tapestry of Mirrorball and you hanging. It was facing her bed in her dorm room. And you were like this guardian angel that we would look to. And maybe sometimes we would like smoke a little weed and lie on her bed and just like stare at her giant Sarah tapestry. And sometimes we'd give her shit. Like, it's a little weird that she's just staring at you in your bed all the time. But it was also like amazing. And you were this figure for us. Your music was very symbolic for us. And I just have like,
how does that feel? How does that sound? Like, what does that do to you when you hear a kind of story like that?
I love that. I love that because, you know, I love the idea that something I've created has gone out into the world and given somebody something positive like that, whether it's something to hold on to or something to lean on mm-hmm. or to feel like they're connected to. I mean, I think that's one of the most beautiful gifts music has to offer. It's such a connector.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I think it allows us to feel less alone. It's, you know, God, there's someone else in the world who gets me, who understands me. They're able to articulate this in a way that makes sense to me. I mean, that's what music does for me. And I think that's what my music does for a lot of other people, is that sense of this person gets me. And when someone else in the world gets you and is able to articulate it, it's sort of, it makes you feel less alone. It makes you feel like you're part of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think as humans, that's what we all crave more than anything else, to be part of something.
And God knows that's, now more than ever, when we feel often very disconnected from each other and from the reality that's going on around us. You know, I just want to thank you for your music,
yes.
having always helped us feel more connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I love that. I mean, as I said, that's what it does for me. And I think playing live is the ultimate culmination of that energy, you know, because you're all in it together. You're all experiencing it together. I'm playing it, you're listening, but we're experiencing it. We're part of something bigger than ourselves when I'm playing music. And it's that to me is like, that's church.
Mm. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, congrats again on the Grammy nomination. I guess we'll see you there.
Thank you.
Are you going to be making a trip to New York?
No, it's on my birthday. I'm turning 50 that day.
Woo! Oh, it's the same day. You know, I was going to end by asking about your birthday. I did not connect that it was the same day.
Well, and that you didn't want to make that your birthday plan.
No, well, I don't know my birthday plans. I'm going surfing in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah. Good choice.
Yeah. Nice to see you.
You don't want to come to New York in January. Anyway, definitely go to Hawaii.
Oh, that's awesome. Happy birthday.
No, I have to tell, I'm a little bummed. Well, I'm a little bummed that it is on my birthday because I would have loved to have come. I had already made all these plans.
Surfing plans. Yeah.
People coming. It's like, you know,
That's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you enjoy that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, happy holidays to you guys.
Yes, happy holidays. Happy New Year. This is a great
happy life.
Year. Happy
life.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Amen.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks
all
so much.
Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Angels, we have heard.